Boom. ओम ओम नमः पाणिनि कात्यायन पतंजलिभ्यः शब्द विद्या संप्रदाय कर्तृभ्यः परम ऋषिभ्यो नमो महद्भ्यो नमो गुरुभ्यः येनाक्षर समाम्नायम अधिगम्य महेश्वरात् कृत्स्नं व्याकरणं प्रोक्तं तस्मै पाणिनये नमः। वाक्यकारं वररुचिं भाष्यकारं पतञ्जलिं पाणिनीं सूत्रकारञ्च प्रणतोऽस्मि मुनित्रयम्। सिद्धिस्साध्ये सतामस्तु प्रसादात्तस्य धूर्जटेः जाह्नवीफेनलेकेव यन्मूर्ध्नि शशिनकला। नमो नमः। वेलकम बैक। यस्टरडे वी डिड अ क्विक लुक एट व्हाट इज संहिता एंड आफ्टर दैट वी लुक्ड एट द वेरियस फोर टाइप्स ऑफ वर्ड्स नामा आख्याता उपसर्ग निपाता। We also saw whether if a samhita or a sandhi rule, if it is in ekapada, inside a word, it is nitya, it always has to be done. Between a dhatu and upasarga, it is also nitya and has got always to be done. Also between the words of samasa, between the individual words of a samasa, where samasa is a compound word of usually two words. Sometimes you'll find three words, sometimes you'll find four words, but that you start with two words first and then join a third word and so forth. So in the samasa, between the word boundaries also there will be some samhita and a sandhi rule is supposed to be done, and that also sandhi rule is a nitya. Nitya means always has to be done. We also looked at in the class yesterday what is noun and what are nominal declensions. The nominal declensions, we said, as we discussed, that the noun gets declined. And in the process, there was a diagram which I had drawn here. Unfortunately, that diagram got wiped out when I stopped the Zoom. And some of our friends online were not able to see the diagram. My apologies. What we will do is we will just do the diagram in a just quickly, and I will walk you through. It'll be a revision also. Okay. What we did yesterday was we said that everything in a sentence, anything that needs to be conveyed upon, that needs to be conveyed, revolves around a central action. And we had put ourselves a challenge to find a sentence without a kriyapadam. And the idea is you will not find a sentence without a kriyapadam. Kriyapadam is the akhyatam, is the main predicate. So that what it revolves around is kriya, is the action. And the kriya, pardon my handwriting, I will try to improve it. The kriya is performed by, and we said yesterday that we are talking about in this discussion about only an active voice. Active voice is kartari prayoga. Kartari prayoga. That kriya, whenever in an active voice, the subject, or rather, you will have the agent of the action. Agent, I'm looking for an eraser. Okay, here is the eraser. the eraser is overwriting what has been written. Okay, let us do undo whatever. Okay, that is good. So the kriya, the action, whenever an action happens, there is an independent entity which performs, who is the agent of the action. That agent of the action is called karta. There are Panini rules for all of these whatever we are quoting right now. Swatantra karta, for some of you who have learned Panini, Swatantra karta is the agent of the action. And when the action is performed, there is some result of the action. You are cutting, then the vegetable that has to be cut, or when Ramaha Odanam Pachati, then Odanam is what is being cooked. Ramaha Sitam Pachati, and Sita is the object of the action to see. You follow? That object, okay, is called karma. Karma is the object of the verb. Okay. Sometimes the agent is also the subject of the sentence. You see where I'm relating. Okay. Subject is that of the sentence. Agent is that of the action. The object, karma, is of the action. Okay. And in order to perform the action, you need an instrument that we said is the karanam. Karanam is the instrument. Then we said that when the action is performed, there is a recipient, the beneficiary of that action. And that beneficiary of the action is represented by the dative case. And it is called sampradanam. Is represented by the dative case. For the same action, we said yesterday that whenever the action has some notion of separation, okay, dhruvam apaye apadanam. Okay, so there are sutras I said for all of them. I'm not giving you the sutra numbers, don't want to confuse you. But karta, swatantra karta, is an independent agent of the action that needs to be performed. Okay. Kartuhu ichitatamam karma. When something is desired of an action, the result of that action has to be acted upon something. Whatever is the most desired, ichitatamam, that is the karma. Okay. And then dhruvam sadhakatamam karanam. Whatever is something that is used to perform the action, so the action will be performed by or with, then it is karana, karanam. Beneficiary of the action, sampradanam. Karmana yam abhiprayati sa sampradanam. By the karma, whatever the action is to be performed, who is the recipient? That is the sampradanam. And then we said that the action, when there is a separation, then that separation is called apadanam. Remember, these are all the descriptions of the noun. These are all the descriptions of the noun depending upon what particular aspect of that noun which relates, as it relates to the action. Okay. Am I making sense? When that action is performed, how are these nouns relating to the action? What is the connection of that particular noun with the action? That connection is determined by how that action relates to the noun. Okay. If you are the agent of the noun, then that agent is the karta. If that if that is what the action is acting upon, it's karma. If it is an instrument to perform the action, it is karma. If it is the recipient of the result of the action, then it is sampradanam. That noun is a sampradanam. Okay. And if that action is performed where something is steady, and then what is steady, and from there is a separation. So the leaf falls from the tree, not the leaf. Leaf does the action of falling. It falls to the ground. Ground is the recipient, not recipient, but ground is where it's falling, right? But the tree is where the separation is happening from. Okay. He came from heaven. Then heaven is where the separation is happening from. So whenever that separation happens for an action, that what is steady in that separation, he falls from a running horse. The horse is not steady, it's running. But for the action of falling, it's from the horse. Then the horse is what is called, is given a Sanskritam name. It's called Apadanam. And the Apadanam is represented by the ablative case. The agent Karta is represented by nominative case. The karma is represented by the accusative case. Dative karanam is represented by, of course, the instrumental case. And all of this action happens in time or in space, right? And that becomes the adhara, the locus of the action. And that locus of the action is represented by the locative case called adhikarna. The loci of any action. I wouldn't say loci, let's say the locus of any action. Because the action can be in multiple location, I doubt. I don't want to make that as an affirmative statement because I can be proven wrong, right? An action can happen in a room, on the table, right? This is on the table, in this hall. Then the location comes forth, okay? That is the adhara of the kriya. When it is adhara of the kriya, it is called the particular noun gets the property of being an adhikarana. Stone in the river, water in the grass, okay? Thought in the mind, you follow? So, in, on, at, these are the representations, prepositions that represent the adhikarana. In a language like English, all of these relationship, okay, of the noun with the object, right, with the kriya, with the action, will either be represented by the positional location in the sentence or by some prepositions. Okay, so this is how the nouns are all connected to the main verb, the kriyapadam. That is why what happens is that when this connection is what is called as an anvaya. This connection is what is called an anvaya. So in a poetic format, and in the poetry format, you have the words which are arranged based on what the meter is, or arranged based on how the rhyme is, or how the syllables are sounding better. And then when you rearrange them to mean that this is a subject, this is the object, this is the verb, this is the sampradanam, this is the apadanam, this is the adhikaranam. When you maintain that, when you try to spread that out or specify that out, is what is called as an anvaya of a sentence. Yes, go ahead. Anvaya? Okay. So, is everybody okay with this diagram? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a wonderful picture of this diagram so that I'm going to, we can add it to the notes.
Yes, it's now.
1 second, online, can you please hold on? There's another question here. Go ahead. Please go ahead. Yes. Yes. Shashti Vibhakti is not relating to the question that is asked for people who are online, that have we skipped Shashti Vibhakti? Yes. Shashti Vibhakti is called Sambandha Shashti. Okay. Sambandha Shashti is always relating to another noun. Okay. Whereas the Sambandha, the noun doesn't in that Shashti is not relating to a Kriya Pada. Okay. So what in the diagram is what is shown here are only those karakas. These are all called karakas. Okay. These are all called karakas. Karakas, what is a karaka? Kriyam anveti iti karaka. I'll give you our word, okay? We'll pop the stack. Okay. So kriyam anveti iti karaka. Those nouns that relate to the action, okay, that relation is called the karaka. It's not the noun that is karaka. It is the relation that is a karaka. The karaka is a karta. The karaka is a karma. The karaka is a karna. The karaka is a sampradanam, apadanam, or a adhikaranam. Where all these nouns are relating to the action. But then the noun can relate to another noun. Okay. The father of. Okay. You see, that's a sambandha. Pita, pitru sambandha. Pitru or pita, putra sambandha. There are four or five different types of sambandha. And these types of sambandha. Okay. Avayava and avayavi bhava sambandha. Okay. The branch of the tree. It's a part of it. Okay. So there are these sambandhas. Sambandhas are connections. That connection is a connection of one noun with another noun. And that connection is given by the sixth case. Okay. And that sixth case is what is the genitive case. I will summarize that for you. Okay. So let me take the picture again. And one second. And the folks on the online can please go ahead with your question. Can you ask the question again? You will have to unmute online. Okay. Where is the mouse? Sorry. The mouse is somewhere here. Shamyata. Sorry. Online folks, anybody? There's the Moses. Okay. Let me terminate this. And am I audible online? Can someone of you count? Abhay Murari?
Yes. Can you hear me? Yes. Yes.
Very clear.
Okay. There was a question being asked online. Can you repeat the question, please?
I think there was no question. We were not able to see the board. So,
okay. So, where are you able to
complain?
No, yes. No, now it's okay.
Okay, now it's okay, right? So, I'm going to now show the screen. Are you able to see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So, we have the screen. We are able to see it. Class number 4. Let me type here. Okay, so what we talked about today, right? We talked about a few things. The connection between the noun and the verb is called anvaya. Shamyatam. Anvaya. Okay. Anvaya. Anvaya generally means connection. We talked about yesterday that the connection with the forefathers, right, the lineage is also called Anvaya, by the way. This generally means connection. Why is it called Anvaya here? Because the statement that when you rearrange all the words in such a way that you are specifying what is the karta, what is the karma, what is the kriya, and you're specifying that, you are doing the Anvaya of the Vakya. By Anvaya of the Vakya, what you're doing is you're specifying what is the connection of every one of the noun with the verb. That is the Anvaya. And the sixth case, as we said, is the connection of the noun with other nouns. Okay. So let us see what are those cases, right? The cases are nominative. That is the first case. Accusative, second case. Instrumental, the third case. Dative, the fourth case. Ablative, the fifth case. Okay. The sixth case is the genitive. And then locative. These are the seven cases. In Sanskritam, whenever for a noun you specify these cases, the way that these cases are specified in Sanskritam is what ends up happening is that there are a set of 7 × 3, 21 suffixes that are added to the noun. These suffixes are called sup. These suffixes are called sup. Su, au, jas, am, am, out, shas, ta, bhyam, vis, nasi, bhyam, vis, nas, os, am, ni, os, sup. So, just am, out, shas, ta, bhyam, vis, nasi, bhyam, vis, nas, os, am. Is it right? Suvauja, Samauja, Stabhyam, Bhis. Nasi, Bhyam, Bhis. Missing one. Name Bhyam, Bhis. Okay. Thank you. Okay, let me rearrange that. Tabhyam bes, nebhyam bes, nasi. Thank you so much. Okay. I assure you, you know, when you are speaking, reading, typing all together. Okay, so suvajas. Okay, you take the first of that su, right, and the last of the pakara together. That is how, that is, this is beautiful name, way of naming this. It's called sup. Why am I telling you this? Because this sup is a pratyaya. What is it? It is a pratyaya. Pratyaya means a suffix. Okay, suffix. These suffixes, the suf suffixes, are added to the noun. Okay, why do we add the noun? We add the noun to decline the noun. Why do we decline the noun? We decline the noun to specify a few things. One, the nouns have a property. Right? In Sanskritam, the nouns are always, in any language, the nouns will have a gender. The nouns signify, what do the nouns signify? Nouns signify, of course it has a meaning. Okay? The nouns has a meaning. That meaning is specified by the nominal stem. Okay, so for example, Hari is the nominal stem. Rama, Atman, Brahman, these are nominal stems. Sukham, not sukham, sukha. Sukha is a nominal stem. Okay, dukkha is a nominal stem. Okay, shashi is a nominal stem. It's not shashi, shashin is a nominal stem. You follow? So these are nominal stems. What is a nominal stem? Nominal stem is a noun. Is the main noun. This is a nama. Nominal stem is a main noun, and this is the nama. How is the nominal stem derived? We will look into later. Okay, where does it come from? How is it derived? We'll look into that later. But nominal stem is the nama. A nominal stem in its own cannot be used in a vakya. Okay, a nominal stem, in order to use in a vakyam, in a statement, you have to first decline it. Make sense? A nominal stem to use in a vakya, you have to decline it. Why do you have to decline it in a vakya? Because when you put it into a statement, there will always be a kriyapadam. Always be a kriyapadam, a thinganta. And that thinganta, when you are using the nominal stem in the vakya, you have to specify what is its relationship with the kriyapadam. That relationship is specified, right? So the nominal stem will tell you a few meanings. Okay, first thing, it will tell you the, base meaning. Base meaning, I'm just saying, is because that is the nominal meaning. Okay, nominal meaning. What do you mean by nominal meaning? Rama, you're referring to somebody, a person, right? Person, place, or a thing, right? Pataliputra, a location. The name is Pataliputra. Okay. Then in Sanskritam, the nominal, I'll do this. Nominal, any nominal stem will also have a gender. Right? So the gender could be of the object, of the word, right? So basically, a male lion or a female lioness. Okay. So what I mean is that lion, lionesses. Okay. So that gender is of the animal. Make sense? He, masculine. She, feminine. It, neuter. You follow? But in Sanskritam, there is a speciality. Okay, and in not Sanskritam, in many other languages also you will see it, many of the vernacular languages also you will see, is that there is something called as a philological gender. The philological gender means that words have gender. Okay, the gender of the word has nothing to do with the gender that it represents. For example, a word like devata. Devata is a gender. Okay. Devata is a word. It's a nama. You know what devata is? Okay. A divine. Somebody who is divine is devata. Divu kanto. Somebody who is shining. Right? That is called a devata. That's from there the word is derived. Devata. That devata in Sanskritam is always a feminine word. Now, he could be a masculine devata, but when the word devata is used, it means a feminine word. You follow? This is what is meant by the Sanskritam words have a philological gender. Another example would be mitram. Mitram, you must have heard this word. Mitram is a friend. Okay, mitram is a friend. Now, the friend could be masculine, could be feminine. Either way, you would call mitram. Okay, so the gender of the person is not determining the gender of the word. The philological gender of the word is determining whether if it's masculine, accusative, or neuter. Make sense? This is not for all the words. You'll find that for many words, there's something called as philological gender. That is why every word will have a gender. In Sanskritam, every word will be have a gender. Any nama you take will have a gender. Is it masculine? Is it feminine? Or is it neutral? Okay? So every nama will have a gender. Also, there is something in Sanskritam, or rather in Sanskritam, in English it is there. You have the plurality. While most languages will have singular and plural, okay, Sanskritam has singular, dual, and plural. Next us. That's why we have 21 pratyayas for sukh. Why 21 pratyayas for sukh? Because you want to specify nominative, accusative, instrumental, dative, ablative, genitive, and locative, 7. And also want to specify whether if it is singular, dual, or plural. 7 into 3, 21. There is another usage which is vocative, and that is only an extension of nominative. When you call out, hey Rama, hey Hare, okay, hey Guru, when you are calling out, that is vocative. When you are seeking somebody's attention so that their face is looking towards you, it's called Abhimukhi Karanam. When Abhimukhi Karanam is there, okay, Abhimukhi Karanam, when Abhimukhi Karanam is there, you will use vocative. Again, I'm specifying this, we will go into the details of all of this together, optimum number of times. But for now, you remember a bunch of things, few things that we will do, is that whenever we are looking at a noun, we will specify what is the noun's gender. Is it masculine? Is it feminine? Is it neuter? Why is it important? Because you could have Brahman as an example. You could have Brahman as the nominal stem. Okay. You understand what a nominal stem is? Nominal stem means it's the base noun. In Sanskritam, it is called Pratipadikam. Arthavad Dhatura Pratyaya Pratipadikam Kruttadvita Samasascha. It's a grammatical rule that tells us what Pratipadikam is. Anything that has a meaning is called Pratipadikam. Rama Pratipadikam. Noun. A word that has a noun, a nominal stem. Please go ahead. Yes. Vocative case. Sambodhanam is the vocative case. Sambodhanam, the question that is asked is Abhimukhi Karanam, is that Sambodhanam? Yes. Okay. Initially, we will keep using this word interchangeably. Vocative, accusative. Okay. But later on, we will just go to the Sanskritam representation of it. Is that what is the case? Okay. Whenever the Pratipadikam is the nominal stem, that nominal stem specifies gender. It will specify what is the case. For every nominal stem, you can specify the case. And for every nominal stem, you can specify the plurality. Okay, so the nominal stem itself is a Pratipadikam. And that Pratipadikam, like Brahman is a Pratipadikam. If that Brahman Pratipadikam is represented as masculine, nominative, singular, then it becomes Brahma. If the same Brahman Pratipadikam is represented as neuter, nominative, singular, it is Brahman, is Brahma. You follow? That is why if it is done. Like in Brahma Purana, when they talk about Brahma, they talk about Brahmaji. That Brahmaji is added to specify that it is not Sarvam Kalvidam Brahman that is being talked about. It is Brahma. Okay. Or sometimes also will be said as Brahma Deva. Okay. Is this Saguna? I don't want to go into that discussion, but just want to specify that there is a gender for the word. And based on what the gender is, the declension could be different. And the declension, without using the declension, you cannot use it into a sentence. Are you making sense? Okay. So let me summarize all of this again. We'll keep summarizing. Somebody online is trying to ask a question. If not, please mute. If somebody joined in new. Okay. Fortunately, I have a mute button. I can mute them. Okay. So nominal stem. For every noun, whatever you're specifying is a nominal stem. Nominal stem is pratipadikam. Okay. For folks who are not taking notes, please take notes. Otherwise, after a few days, you will start missing it. It is pratipadikam. Okay. Pratipadikam, when it is used in a sentence, it has to be declined. The declension will be in one of the nominative, accusative, instrumental, and so forth. One of the seven cases. These cases in Sanskritam are called Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shashti, Saptami, which is first, second, and so forth. Why are they feminine? Prathama is not Prathamaha. It is Prathama, Dvitiya. Can anyone tell me why is it feminine? Why is the case feminine? Prathama, Dvitiya. You see, can you hear? It is not Prathamaha. It is Prathama. It is feminine. Can anybody tell me why is it feminine? Yes. It is an adjective to Vibhakti. Vibhakti is feminine Shabda. That's why it's Prathama is not Prathama. Prathama is Prathama Vibhakti. We say Shashti. Shashti is incomplete. Without saying, is Shashti Vibhakti. So the case is called Vibhakti. Vibhakti. Okay? So I will re-summarize what I have summarized. Okay? Whenever you have an action, it's Kriyapadam. And whenever you want to have that action and you want to specify other nouns that relate to the action, you cannot use those nouns into the sentence unless those nouns are declined. How are those nouns declined? Those nouns are declined by one of these vibhaktis. Right? What do those vibhaktis specify? Those vibhaktis specify one of the karakas. Are you nominative? Are you karta, karma, karna? One of the karakas. And sometimes the noun may not be relating directly to the action. The noun will be relating to another noun. When that happens, then the sixth case is used, which is Sambandha Shashti. Shashti need not be only Sambandha. Make a note. Shashti need not be only Sambandha. Sometimes Shashti, sixth case, can be used for other scenarios also. Shashti could be Karma also. Shashti could be Karna also. So Shashti could be Sampradanam, Apadanam also. Shashti is a catch-all, by the way. Okay. So Shashti could be used for other purposes also. But Shashti generally is used to mean a Sambandha. Okay. Now let us look at our statement. What is the statement we are going to look at? We are still in the second verse. We are following Swamiji. Swamiji is on the fourth verse of the Upanishad. Okay, we are still trailing back. But we will catch up pretty soon. Shruto hitopadeshoyam patavam samskruptoktishu vacham sarvatra vaichitriyam niti vidyam dadati cha. In this statement, what is the main verb? Dadati. Okay. Now you have to relate all the various words with either one of the other words, or you have to relate it with the verb. Make sense? Once you do that and you specify all the relationship, the anvaya is done. So how will I do the anvaya of this? Let us see, how do you do the anvaya of this? Okay, in this verse, shuto hitopadeshayam, right, hipadeshoyam, dadati cha, gives. Dadati means gives. What does it give? When the question is asked, what does it give? But before you can even ask what does it give, you have to say what gives or who gives. You follow? What is the agent? Karta. Who is the agent? In this case, the agent is who? Hitopadeshah. Now let's qualify hitopadesha. What hitopadesha? This hitopadesha. This means what is being currently taken up as a topic of discussion. I am hitopadesha. Then you want to qualify the hitopadesha further. And you say, what hitopadesha? This hitopadesha which we have heard. Shutaha. Okay, shutaha, I am hitopadeshaha, we have heard. What have you heard? It is samskritoktishu patavam. Okay, it is very clever, or very patavam also means skilled, very clever. Very clever in what? In clever in samskrita uktishu. Samskrita Uktishu means, Samskrita, as I said, is not Samskritan as a language. It is in polished expressions. In polished expressions, the Hitopadesha is very good, very clever. It also has variety of words everywhere. Vacham, Vacham Sarvatra Vaichitriyam has a variety of words everywhere. Vaichitriyam is variety. Okay, sarvatra is everywhere. Variety of what? Variety of words. So vacham is not connecting to dadati. Vacham is connecting to vaichitriyam. Okay. What does it give? Niti vidyam dadati cha. Hitopadeshaha. So the simplest sentence would be hitopadeshaha niti vidyam dadati. And the simplest sentence. Karta karma kriya. Hitopadeshaha niti vidyam dadati. Okay? Make sense? Okay, let's go to the next verse. So what it means is that hitopadeshaha, which is heard by us, I'm just going to do a translation. This hitopadesha, which is heard by us, or hitopadesha, which we have heard, this hitopadesha is very apt, very skillful at providing polished expressions. It is also has a variety, a very good variety of words everywhere. Okay, and it also gives you niti vidya. Okay, niti vidya is the good conduct knowledge of good conduct. Okay, let us go to the next verse. I'll just bring up the next verse. I need to get the verse so that it can be put into the I can cut paste into the notes. अजरामरवत् प्राज्ञः लाउडर अजरामरवत् प्राज्ञः vidyartham cha chintayet gruhita iva kesheshu mrutyuna dharmam acharet. Okay, so let us say one more time. Amara ajara amaravat prajnyah vidyartham cha chintayet gruhita iva kesheshu mrutyuna dharmam acharet. Okay, now let us do the padacheda. Padacheda would be the breaking up of individual words. Okay, padacheda. Padacheda will be amara ajara, sorry, ajara amaravat, ajara ajara mara maravat. Okay, ajara, we say ajara amara and all that. Okay, but it is ajara amaravat, ajara amaravat prajnyaha vidyam artham cha chintayet gruhita iva kesheshu mrutyuna dharmam acharet. Okay, this is how you will break it up. No, it is a samasa. No, because ajara on its own will not stand. Prajnya, sorry, I think this not the keyboard, this software I'm using has an auto correction. Okay, when I put a space, that it goes on. Thank you. You please point out. We'll keep the correcting. No worries. So yeah, Vidya. Okay. Thank you. Okay. If there are any other errors, we'll correct. Ajara Amaravat. Okay. Ajara and Amara. Ajara and Amara. These are two different words. Ajara means not growing old. Jara, geriatric. Right? Jara means, it comes from Dhatu Jiri, which means to grow old. Ajara means not growing old. Now in this two, actually what I'm saying is that in this verse, there are two Kriyapadams. One is Chintayet and the other is Acharet. We will look into the Kriyapadams in the coming classes. We will not let go. First, today we are concentrating on the Namas, the nouns and the declensions of the nouns and so forth. Okay. So this Ajara Amaravat, this is actually an indeclinable. It is a pratyaya called vati. The pratyaya called vati is coming in. Means like. Vati, that what, that you see what at the end, is like, just like. Similar to that type of a like. Ajara Amaravat. Prajnyaha would mean the wise. In this case, prajnyaha is wise. Don't go into prajnanam brahma and all that. Okay. Here prajnyaha is wise. Vidyam is the knowledge. Artham is wealth. Vidyam, artham, cha chintayet. Cha is an indeclinable. Chintayet. Chintayet means that is what he should contemplate upon. Should consider. Okay. Gruhita. That is the first statement. First sentence. Second sentence. Gruhita. Held. Seized. Gruhita. Iva means just like. Kesheshu. Yeshu is locative, but means by the hair. Held by the hair. Gruhita iva keshesu. Mrityuna. Mrityu is death. And by death, this personification of the Lord of Death. Mrityuna. By the Lord of Death. Or by death. Okay. Dharmam. Dharmam here is not dharma. It's basically the good virtues. Whatever good things that he is supposed to do, those good virtues. Acharet. Acharet is he should practice. Okay. Chintayet, very similar, should do. These are vidhiling. Ling lakara, vidhiling. Okay. Ajara amaravat prajniha. So, what is the statement trying to tell you? It is trying to tell you that prajnyaha chintayet. First statement. Prajnyaha chintayet. The wise should contemplate or should consider. What should they consider? They should consider vidya and artha. Okay, wealth and knowledge. Okay, please don't bring Vedanta here. Okay, this is Sanskritam. We are doing, as I said, we are doing literal analysis. Okay, of the Shabdas, Shabda Shastra. So, wealth and artha. Artha is the wealth and the vidya, knowledge, the prajnyaha, the wise people should contemplate upon or should consider. Okay. How should he consider? Just like as if he is not getting old. Okay. Because if he was getting old and you're at the last of your life, you know, now you're not looking for wealth and knowledge. You're trying to live your life peacefully. So you, as if you are not doing any growing old at all. You know, that you're not going to die. That's what the idea is. You, with all the enthusiasm, you should try to consider or collect knowledge and wealth. Okay? This is the Hitopadesha is trying to tell you. Ajara amaravat. Just like as if you're not getting old or you're not as if you're not going to die. Just like that, you keep on collecting wealth or keep on considering wealth as well as keep on considering knowledge. Okay. Then he says what? However, Gruhita iva kesheshu mrityuna dharmam acharet. You have to perform your duties, your religious duties. Or what did we say earlier? Dharmam. You should do your whatever is your good virtue that you have to follow. That you should do. You should practice good virtue. Okay. Just like as if you are being held by the hair. Okay. Now the death is being brought about. Just like the death would hold you by the hair and take you to death. Just like that, you are as if held by the hair and made to follow the dharma. Okay, so I should follow the dharma as if I'm held by my hair. Basically, don't deviate from dharma. That is the meaning. That is the meaning that wants to communicate. Okay, where the holding of the hair is mean to lead. Like the death would lead by holding the hair. Just like that, Gruhita Iva Kesheshu. Iva means just like that. Okay? Don't get graphic about it. Just pay attention to what it's trying to say. It's trying to say is that just like the death would lead you or hold you or take you to death, just like that, you should perform, you should lead yourself by holding by the hair as if the death is holding your hair and go towards doing actions which are of good virtue. Dharmam acharet. Okay, you guys got the meaning? What we are interested in is, apart from the meaning, is the various words. Chintayet, should consider. Some lakara, some ling lakara, we will look into that later. But that is the main akshatam, chintayet. Ushu chintayet. Prajnyaha chintayet. Prajnya is the karta, the nominator. That's why prajnyaha is a nominator. It's in masculine, nominative singular. Prajnyaha. Prajnyaha is akaranta, humlinga. You will look at it. Now you should guys should look start looking at Shabdamanjari. It's like Rama is akaranta pumlingaha Rama Shabdaha. Prajnyaha is also akaranta pumlingaha Prajnya Shabdaha. Prajnyaha, Prajnyau, Prajnyaha. Nominator. Okay. Ajaramaravat is an indeclinable. In indeclinable also, the supratyas come and the supratyas are dropped. Okay. Remember that in the indeclinables, avyayas, the supratyas are brought in and then they are dropped. The ajaramaravat is just telling you just like that. Okay. Prajnyaha, vidyam, vidyam and artham, these are in accusative case. Vidya is feminine, accusative, singular. Are you guys following? Vidya is vidya. So, akaranta, strilinga, vidya, shabdaha, vidyam is the feminine accusative. Okay. And artham. Artha is again masculine, but artham is accusative singular. Okay. You had one question. We have time for some question. You have, you want, okay, no question. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Yes.
So at what point does that become clear? Like, how do you resolve those kinds of things?
Yes. Good question. Good question. The question is asked is that, you know, some many a time these words will have various meanings in various contexts. Okay. Artham is one such word. Okay. Kim artham? For what purpose? Okay. Vidya artham. Okay. For the purpose of vidya. But in that case, what happens is that the artham gets added to the nominative case, to the pratipadika. Vidya artham. Here, if you look at it, I'm just explaining in this scenario. In this scenario, it is vidyam and artham. So artham is an independent word here. It's not like for the purpose of something. Okay. So in, you know, jnanartham. There, what will happen is that jnanam is jnanam artham. Then you would take jnanam and artham separately. But if the word was jnanartham, then that artham is added to jnana. It is not a word boundary. Jnana there is not a word boundary. Vidya is not a word boundary. If you say vidyartham, okay, like the vidyarthi. Vidyarthi is a student. So what is the vidyarthi? Vidyam, the one who is desiring to get vidya. Okay. But in that case, it becomes a samasa. And that samasa, vidya and artha will join together to become vidyartha. Okay. And in that case, vidyartham would be there. Vidyartham would be a valid word, but it will be a single word. Whereas when you take the word boundaries here, you will find that you will see that is vidyam and artham. Now artham is standing on its own. And that artham is accusative. So it will be a karma of the verb chintayet. Okay. And the cha is also there. The cha has to be joining something. Right. So then you need two accusative that you should consider. It's a no pun intended. Chintayet is considered. But I still want to say that two things that he needs, the prajna needs to consider. He needs to consider vidyamcha, arthancha. So vidya and artha both will be accusative. Okay. If you have two accusative cases in a statement, then they will become one adjective to another, usually. Okay. But here there are two accusatives with a cha being there. In that case, the cha is making it into a compound. It will become two sentences, ideally. It will be prajnyaha, vidyam chintayet, cha, prajnyaha, artham chintayet. the two different independent sentences what it's trying to communicate. And then that artham and vidyam are joined together in a single statement to say prajnyaha vidyam cha artham cha chintayet. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay. So here the context will help you understand that. Go ahead, what is your question? Yes, the makara, makara that is here, that when you break it up, vidyam, that vidyam is accusative singular of akaranta pratipadikam vidya. If that makara was not there, then it becomes vidyartham. Okay? Vidya and artham will become vidyartham. Then it will be a singular. In that case, that cha is frivolous. That cha you doesn't make sense. So many times some of these words, right? You put it all together, and when you start bringing a meaning for every one of the words, you will find that, okay, it makes sense only if this is the case. By elimination. That elimination happens automatic after a period of time, to answer your question. And that period of time is, you have to expose yourself to a lot of literature to get that. Kavya and literature, if you expose them, expose yourself, you will get it. That is the purpose of Hitopadesh also, is exposing ourselves to the Vaichitraya. He said various different, not only Sanskrita Ukti, but Vacham Sarvatra Vaichitriyam. When you expose yourself to a variety of different texts, kavyas, texts, prose, various texts you will when you expose, you will get it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnivavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु आई विल गो अहेड एंड ऐड द वन सेकंड आई विल ऐड द स्क्रीनशॉट यस द डायग्राम as the first thing for people who missed it. Oh, people online, namo namaha.